Okay, let's get started. Good afternoon. This is the Guam EPA Board of Directors regular meeting. Today's date, Thursday, September 26, 2024. The approximate time is 4 o'clock p.m. and this meeting is being recorded. Go around the room. Stephen Carbolito.
Stephen Carrara.
But Frank Castro.
Steve Hollister.
Hi, Danny. Can you turn on your camera? Hi.
Danny Titingfall reporting from Agana.
Thank you, Danny.
Sounds good. Thank you. Hearing we have a quorum and the publication went out, let's get started. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Next one. Is there a motion to approve the last meeting's minutes?
I'll make the motion if everybody read it.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. And
real quick.
One sec, we'll have the administrative report after that. I could have moved slower.
How does he know? What's going on? Oh, there he is.
All right. Turn over to Nick for the administrator's report.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. So we'll start off with our administrative side of the house. As we reported last meeting, we're in the process for recruitment of a chief engineer and an environmental inspector supervisor. Looks like those announcements might not be made until the start of the next FY. Everything's with DOA right now. We have 5 selections made to fill permanent DHS-1 positions. One selection to fill a Chemist-1. And then on top of that, we've also received our eligibility lists for a computer tech and an environmental tech. So panels are being formed, and we will call the interviewees to have their interviews conducted. As of today, 55 full-time employees. Our arrears for the operations building is now satisfied. We just got an email.
Okay.
Maybe within the last 15 minutes, payment is being processed. Arrears were at $320,000. But that will cover us through the end of this fiscal year, so we're caught up. We have some good news. We have new brownfields funding, just over $800,000. The program is looking at performing a environmental site assessment phase 2 over at Epal Point, along with some cleanup. Not all of this $800,000 is going to go to that effort. Some of this will be retained with the agency for administrative costs. Okay. No new real updates on the agency headquarters project. The only thing we can tell you is bids are still being evaluated with DPW as the lead contractor for the government of Guam's construction. Some of you are probably aware that Carl Goldstein, our program manager from EPA Region 9, is on island. He's going to be here for about 2 weeks. He leaves tomorrow.
Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. So he's been conducting mid-year performance reviews with all of the programs. We haven't heard anything negative in the mid-years, in mid-year meetings, as far as he's concerned. So they're on top of meeting the goals that are set out in the work plans, which are used to approve our consolidated grant funding. So no bad news from what he's heard from the programs, which is great news for us. As you're aware, Administrator Lastimosa is on travel. So she's doing a lab tour on the West Coast, and part of that effort is for market research, specifically for our new lab as part of our agency headquarters construction. So I know she's met with Eurofins. I think she's met with a couple of other EPA labs as well, just to get an idea as to the magnitude of operation and design efforts that need to go in so that we get it right the first time. So that's critical. Moving over to policy matters that affect the agency, Bill 249 was deliberated yesterday. As a reminder, this is the piece of legislation that authorizes the agency to hire a legal counsel. However, there were some amendments made to that bill, and in its final form for voting, it looks like we're not going to be able to recruit a lawyer, but rather go through an RFP process for legal services. So,
there aren't even enough lawyers on Island to serve the private community.
Right.
They're not going to, you know.
Well, the argument and the justification for that amendment, as reported in the media, was I guess there was some hesitancy to allow the agency to recruit a position if it was tied to grant funding, even though we know it is highly unlikely that we're going to lose that funding and then not be able to pay this attorney.
Doing it.
Right, but that was the will of the legislature yesterday, and the bill that's being voted on at the end of this session will be the amended version that allows us to RFP legal services. So we'll go with that if it's signed into law. Okay. Additionally, there was a confirmation hearing for Kathleen Morlin. She was nominated to the Guam EPA Board of Directors. Confirmation hearing was on September 5th. Her nomination is also on this week's legislative agenda, so they will be voting on her appointment to the board at the end of the week. It's probably going to happen now or tomorrow. I don't know where they are in their agenda at this moment.
She can attend the next meeting.
Yes, if she's appointed, absolutely. Fran, I'm sure you're well aware of who she is, given her position with the UOG Research Corporation. The agency spoke in support of Kathleen Morlin. Okay. Switching over to some of the program projects and partnerships, we finally routed an MOA with the GWA to provide $500,000 from our emerging contaminants grant. This is to cover a 3-year baseline monitoring for analysis. It's going to cost them well more than that, but when we applied for the emerging contaminants grant last year, part of the work plan items was to provide some funding to the public water system so that they could start doing their 3-year monitoring. So come 2027, that's when the data is going to have to be the data is going to be used to determine notification to the rest of the community in terms of whether or not the water reaches a certain MCL or a MCLHI. So as you recall, earlier this year, there were 6 PFAS compounds that were regulated with enforceable MCLs. The US EPA also included something called a hazard index, where another compound of PFAS plus a regulated compound would also trigger some type of MCLHI violation if you exceed that. So Sierra from our Safe Drinking Water program did provide a presentation at the American Water Works Association meeting a few weeks ago. There's a calculation on the hazard index. So we still have to go through the MOA process. Once GWA signs off on that, it gets routed through the BBMR, then the AG, then the governor.
Does the board get to review that, or just the administrator? That's a significant amount of money.
Right. There's no requirement for the board to review it, but prior to the the application of the emerging contaminants grant. I know that Brian Bearden spoke at length about that and about some of the elements that
is this the one that for. The board, it's like EPA like, funding of a 5-year master plan?
This is also the funding that's tied to.
So the board did vote on it?
I don't know if the board voted on it, but I know the board was apprised of our intentions to apply for this grant, and it's worth $45 million.
Well, there's something that the board reviews that has to do with US EPA funding.
That might have been the state revolving fund.
Okay.
Back when GWA and Brian presented a priority project list for parts of the island that could use some funding towards water infrastructure, that might have been it. Yeah.
This is different?
Yeah, this is different. This is the emerging contaminants for small disadvantaged communities.
Mm-hmm.
So in the work plan, there are some requirements for analysis of PFAS, public outreach, lab capacity, all dealing with emerging contaminants like PFAS. Yeah. So there was a requirement for analysis. I can only imagine that we decided to have GWA take care of the sampling and analysis, and that's something that they've agreed to. The $500K will only cover analysis, so it doesn't cover anything related to GWA's personnel costs. It's only analysis with the certified lab and the courier services to get those samples over. Yeah. Okay. So come 2029, that's when the US EPA expects that all public water systems are to install their mitigation devices like your GACS or your ion resin exchange to ensure that the water coming out of the system complies with the national primary drinking water regulations. Okay. So last month, a letter of deficiency concerning the Anderson Air Force Base open detonation permit was countersigned with the Region 9 Regional Administrator, Martha Guzman, along with our administrator here, Michelle. The letter gave Anderson 45 days to respond. That response letter came back to us on the 13th of this month. We're still reviewing the contents of the letter. There is a schedule and a time frame for Anderson's proposals on addressing those deficiencies, and in addition to that, they requested for additional time to respond to those deficiencies. Along with that extension, they've also requested two meetings to take place between Guam EPA, Anderson, and Region 9's RCRA permitting team. So the first one is supposed to take place the first week of October. Second one is going to take place sometime in November. So any details that we have over that meeting, we'll be sure to provide those details to the board. Okay. So moving on, agency did some outreach at the Guam Contractors Association General Membership Meeting on September 18th. We were invited by the Contractors Association to provide updates on our permitting performance, updates on any permitting policy or procedure that we felt this particular community should know about. And we provided what our outlook was in terms of improving the efficiency of providing environmental clearance for building permits, along with a brief discussion on the newly passed Public Law 37-105, that's the septic tank law.
Were you guys doing any outreach on that?
We're starting to, right, yeah. So the first step was to inform contractors through letters at any time a building permit application came in that featured a septic tank installation or anything that featured a property that is, you know, the result of a parental or decedent lot subdivision. Letters were issued to contractors who are most likely going to be in the residential construction area. But More outreach is planned. This was just the first step. We're going to be working with GCA for more speaking engagements. We just got to check with their calendar events to make sure that we're able to come in and talk shop with them about that. So it's a great place to start. I know that one of the companies who can provide those advanced nitrogen reducing on-site systems was in attendance at this GCA meeting. So he was able to kind of tag along with what our messaging was in terms of compliance with the law. Yeah, so that's rolling along.
I guess other, in terms of outreach, like what about the community? Like, because it came up in Moreland's hearing again about the people don't know what Guam EPA is doing.
Right.
So it's like,
yeah, we'll probably put something more formal out. It's, you know, in talking to some of the permitting staff, you know, we want to use social media to drive those things, but
the short story.
Right. It's just that the population of contractors who really need this messaging aren't on social media. You know, it's the smaller ones now.
Newspaper articles. Or
yeah. So we have to hit it. We have to hit everything. Just to cover all of our bases. And a lot of that is going to start with our permit window over at the One Stop Building. So that's probably going to get the most reach, and then we can strengthen and enforce those messages with other means. That's in the works also.
Those little cards and hand them.
Yeah, particularly because we have the interim permitting authority for that. So there are some temporary regulations that are tied to compliance, and I don't see us departing too far from the temporary regulations once we go through the formal process of adopting those regs. Yeah. And then we were able to provide some comments on a environmental assessment for the Guam Wildlife Refuge facility construction. This was submitted on September 23rd. Our comments were based solely on the section that spoke about their wastewater disposal. The footprint of this property is outside the groundwater protection zone, so there's more flexibility on what the facility is able to do, being outside the GPZ. They've indicated that they're still going to install an advanced nitrogen reducing on-site system. So part of our comments was to ensure that compliance with the public law that just passed. I can't remember when the draft EA was produced. It might have been maybe before the law was passed. So we were able to provide comments there as well. As you recall, earlier this year, we entered into an MOA with Guahan Sustainable Cultures as a sub-awardee to a solid waste infrastructure for recycling grant award. I think that was about $570,000 that was awarded to the agency to promote composting through technical guidance workshops. So the first of those workshops actually starts today over at the Sinonia Mayor's office at 5:30. So Guahan Sustainable Cultures has a temporary schedule that they've released on their social media, and that schedule has been shared by our social media as well. The next firm date that they have is over at the Agate Mayor's office. That's on October 3rd from 5:30 to 7. So they've got three other mayor's offices listed, but the times and dates are still to be announced. So once they provide those updated dates, we'll go ahead and share that as well. So in addition to teaching the community about composting, the other goal is for data collection and of course landfill diversion from anything that could be composted. Give the community a chance to learn how to do this, to produce their own compost at home.
How about like outside of the home, like there's no composting bins around the island, right?
Not that I'm aware of. Glenn, are you aware of any?
No, there's no community composting events right now. As per the regulation, up to 3 households can compost without a permit. Everybody else requires a permit to compost.
So that's the roadblock?
That's the roadblock. What I'm in communication with Senator Sabina Paris to try and amend that definition I wanted to try and see if we can exempt farmers, but if they're going to be in the business of providing a service or a fee, then they may be required to obtain a permit. Because now they'll be able to get it from the general public. Likewise with businesses, the trend right now is that small developments are mainly the base. They're obtaining compost permits to manage their green waste on site because they are required to retain all the green waste for beneficial use for swells, for air erosion control measures, for composting and mulching landscaping applications. So none of that green waste is leaving. But at the same time, their projects are only like 6-8 months. Our permits are 5-year permits. So that's where kind of there's a delay. And then because the facilities are required more, you know, PE drawings and, you know, SOPs on how, which they'll provide, that's kind of like the hold up, is that permitting process. So hopefully we can come to a consensus, is, you know, in the middle, where if they're processing a certain volume or it's going to be for a certain time frame, then maybe not all the requirements can be, you know, made required. It could be, you know, here's a plan, here's a payment, and then we issue the permit, and then they execute that. Because it's already gone through that process of the building permit and, you know, a water guide reviewing all their plans and stuff like that. So I think that it should be approved at that level, as opposed to being separate from the project.
But these composting workshops, this is only for green waste?
It's for organic, so it's food waste,
yeah,
and green waste, with the intention of residents being able to compost at home and use the compost to plant fruits and vegetables, encouraging food security as well.
Yeah, I'm just curious, how come we don't see like composting bins like for food, like out at malls and businesses?
Yeah, so the food composting is a little bit more trickier because a lot of the pathogens and other issues that may come with that, if something like that is in place, it should be by law, then it's an infrastructure. Who's going to collect it? Where's it going to go? So composting facilities can accept food waste. I think Manita Farms was accepting food waste from, I think, the commissaries when they got the contract. But not all food waste, right? So the meats, they don't compost, just the fruits and vegetables and stuff. But, you know, there's on our Guam Zero Waste Master Plan, food waste that's generated from hotel restaurants and from supermarkets and distributors, those are the largest of the volumes of generation of food waste. So if we have a plan for them to transport or collect that food waste, and the priority is edible food waste for human consumption. So we have a pilot that's going on with the Hyatt Regency. They're donating their food waste to the Salvation Army for their clients. And then the food waste that's not edible is for livestock. So public health permits that portion of that requirement. And then, of course, food waste that is not edible for human or animal consumption, then it's composted. Is the route that we're looking at. We do have composting facilities, and they're capable of food waste. It's that collection portion of it is going to be a challenge.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. Like,
but definitely
having bins out. Schools or the mall or GPO and stuff like that.
But even like when we have barbecues at the house and you have different things set aside for your relatives, they still are throwing everything in.
It's usually the one with the
closest
dog,
one they throw it in.
Save the scraps for their dog. That's probably the only thing when I would.
So diverting the organics means 27% by volume diverted from the landfill, decreasing greenhouse gases, leachate, and the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot.
I do want to point out this is also a partnership with the Mayor's Council of Guam, so we don't want to forget the valuable partnerships that we have with the mayors. Segueing into that, I've confirmed with Mayor Jesse Alec the remaining $500,000 from the FY24 $1.5 million appropriation is with them now. So now with the new budget act already signed into law, I think we want to try to get a jump start on the process. So I'm requesting that during the next board meeting, agenda item would be to pass board resolution or review a resolution for the review of the operations plan and the release of the funding, just to keep that in mind so that we're able to get ahead of.
Is this for FY25?
FY25.
He already actually emailed me, but I told him because the agenda already went out for publication, he will submit it for the October board meeting.
That's good that we're able to, please consider that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we're going to try to meet with the new, interim MCOG president. I think it was announced, Georgine Arceo. Yeah. So we're going to try to schedule some time with her to get familiar with her management style and share with her our concerns and our policies on what we expect when this money is spent by the mayors.
Mayor Alec emailed Arlene and me to get on the agenda. Mm-hmm. So we'll have that on the October meeting. So just in preparation for that, make sure the board has all the documents that we usually get. Yeah. And
we'll be sure to have the MOA drafted in time for that, so everything is going to be much quicker than it's ever been.
Yeah. So what's the number?
It's probably still 1.5.
1.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then is whatever they don't use September 30 rolled over till next year?
For FY24?
Yeah.
So the FY25 budget says the funds that are not encumbered as it tied into a purchase order can roll over. So if they receive the funds now and they don't tie it to a PO, then it can roll over for FY25.
Dodrin, in an action level, we are status quo. Looks like Safe Drinking Water is close to completing their review of all the comments received. That we're going to have a meeting on that tomorrow with Safe Drinking Water and Carl Goldstein. So it's possible by the October meeting, the board will have something to consider in terms of what the Dodrin interim action level will be. That's out there. And that's just our permitting data set from the last few weeks. So
in the meeting with GCA, what was the permitting update that was given?
We provided a snapshot of the applications that we reviewed and approved over the last 3 years. We also talked about the impacts of the MILCON projects on the agency's resources.
So what was it over 3 years? So over the data since we've been getting these numbers in the packet,
bring that up now.
I think pretty much it's what comes in goes out. So I think we got like 800 applications and approximately 800 have been approved or responded to. So curious what it was over 3 years.
That slideshow. Okay, so for FY22, we reviewed 588 building permit clearances, 107 clearing and grading, 118 for occupancy, and 47 ARC reviews. FY20.
But it doesn't say how many were submitted.
No, we didn't report that. Yeah, okay. We didn't report that out. But
so like the
review
comments.
And process. Yeah. So the process side would was 562 clearances for FY22.
Yeah. So just to summarize, like I think where it's at right now, like since December or since we've been getting these numbers, it's like I think like approximately 800 have been submitted and approximately 800 have been pushed out. And then the feedback out in the community is like, I think it takes like 3 months for something.
It really depends on who you talk to. I sign a great deal of these and I can tell you that for smaller residential home construction, the average is like 37 days.
37
days. That's a far cry from 3 months. We constantly talk about this with permitting. The review time is interpreted differently with us. For example, Steve here could give us his packet today, right? And we can review it and see that there's deficiencies or see that he's missing documentation. We can reach out to his contractor and let his contractor know that we stop reviewing it.
Yeah.
And you need to submit this or you need to correct this in the plans. 3 months goes by. All Steve knows is it's taking us 3 months to clear his project, not knowing that there are deficiencies or missing documents that require his attention. So it depends on who you talk to.
How about what's the time it takes from someone to submit it for it to get its first eyes looked at?
First eyes looked at depends on which program. Some programs will look at it immediately.
Does drinking water? I mean, I think the one that's backed up the most is water.
The one that's backed up the most is water pollution control, especially when they have to consider the erosion sediment control plans, the clearing and grading aspect of the project.
Yeah, how backed up is it?
It's backed up because in addition to the permit load from civil and commercial construction, we've received 55 project permits from DOD from just January to present. And so some of those DOD plans are thousands of pages. So it's
date of submission to the time water program begins to look at it, there's
maybe 3 weeks. Three weeks. Now, this is not typical. It's going to be case by case, obviously.
As it's submitted, that's where it is in the queue?
Yes.
So it's 3 weeks.
For example, Glenn's program can review your solid waste disposal plan for your project the same day that it's submitted. So
yeah.
The review would start as early as the same day, but...
But for a full construction project,
clearing
all the divisions
right,
to get at it.
Right, clearing everybody is going to take some time, particularly water pollution control.
Okay, yeah. So at least people out there think it's a couple months, but it's more like it takes water program 3 weeks to first look at it.
In some cases, yeah. Some cases it might be sooner. Yeah.
So on the air and land side, our review is when we find a deficiency, we communicate directly to the applicant to submit the following, and they submit it, we process it, it's clear. On the other side, the op side, the water pollution control program, safe drinking water, and that group, they consolidate all the responses. So one section might already be complete, but then everybody needs to submit, and then they communicate one letter out. So whenever they call, they're always calling up solid waste, hey, what's the status of this? We already provided you this. And I'm like, we cleared on the air and land side, but on the operations, it's still under review, and they normally communicate one letter for all the programs on that side. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, that may slow the process, but for the air and land, we communicate directly with them. We get it when we get it, and then the different programs within the agency, depending on when they get it, air and land is cleared. So we don't wait for just one, because first in, first out, might be different for different programs. and how they're processing it. So
yeah, yeah. Just I think the idea is that we're treading water as opposed to catching up.
We have 6 engineers for the entire island in the agency, just to give you a picture of the efforts that those 6 engineers are putting into the review. It's a lot of work for 6 people,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't seem like it's going to get any quicker, especially as the DOD projects start ramping up, and that's going to take us through the next 5-6 years, maybe, who knows, right? So I don't have to explain this to you. You're in this industry. It's competitive for engineers. We'll see what happens with our chief engineer announcement when that happens. I mean, we've already talked about our willingness to offer an above step recruitment on that salary, but I'm not even sure if that's going to be competitive enough with the private firms or DOD or your NAFX or your DZs. So it's a lot of work, and I remind you, the engineering department here it's an aging workforce. Some of these guys are near retirement or about to. We've got to take some steps to do something about that. Yeah. So some of the things that Michelle and I kind of bounced around about is with the permit reviews, if there are portions of that don't necessarily need an engineer, maybe we look to train an EHS series position to take that over. Obvious things like calculations and compliance with the CNMI WOM stormwater management are probably best in the hands of an engineer. But I'll give you an example. For tenant improvement projects that don't involve any clearing and grading, you basic 4 things, manage your solid waste, manage your fugitive dust. If you're installing plumbing, make sure it's lead and copper free. And tell us how you're getting rid of your wastewater. Those 4 basic things that I feel you don't really need an engineer to determine. So we're going to try to see what we can do with existing positions to help alleviate some of the review time off of the engineers. But that's still work in progress. That's a very novel idea that we're going to be looking into. Don't hold me to that just yet, but it's something in a way forward to alleviate the pressure off of the engineers.
Yeah. No. The people reviewing it, they do a lot.
Yeah.
They just need more people
to
do it.
More of them. Yeah. We just need more of them. So, hopefully, with the once Michelle gets back, we'll try to revisit some of the areas that we can assist the review team with, especially in areas that maybe not need an engineer.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the report?
Yes, sir.
I just have one comment on the contractors and the bill 37, or law 37105.
Sure.
At the permitting place, the one-step place. I mean, we have, from July, we have 1 year to figure out how we're going to permit and everything, correct?
We have 1 year to formally adopt rules and regulations.
Yes.
Yeah, so we do have interim permitting authority right now, and we do have a draft of rules and regulations which we intend to adopt. And
okay.
The permitting authority is tied to those draft regs with everybody that has to comply with this law. So going back to that advanced nitrogen system, we've probably sent out maybe close to 20 hold letters informing the contractors that they need to comply with the new law. So far, we've got 1 set of plans back that features that NS245 septic system installed. So we'll see how that goes. I could find out what Johnny is.
Yeah, are we going, when you do adopt the laws, are we going to see those?
It requires board resolution.
Okay.
Yes.
And then when you guys were talking about having a card at the one set where you can hand off to them and tell them this is the new rules and regs. I mean, you want it pretty clear, like, you know, this is what it is. This
yeah,
is what
as,
it needs
as,
to be.
As plainly as we can state things is the goal, right? Yeah. Okay. I mean, especially some of the
hold their feet to the fire.
Well, that too, but making sure that they understand exactly what we need, especially
okay.
considering that some of these contractors, English is not their first language,
yeah.
so
yeah.
we, you know, we're
no,
going to be looking into multilingual support just so that everything is clear.
Right.
Yeah. So, subject to any further questions, this completes the administrator's report.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments?
When is Michelle coming back?
Tomorrow night or?
She comes in tonight.
Can't remember.
Will she be around for the next board meeting?
No. Well, she's here for 1 week, then she's off island, then she gets back here for 1 day, and then she leaves again. So if you want to have it while she's here, it would have to be on the 26th. She will not be here on the 18th.
24?
25th, I'm sorry, 25th. 24. I mean, 24, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, 24. Yep, she won't be here on the 17th.
Be interesting to see what happens with that job announcement, but the federal government has taken everybody.
Mm-hmm. And it's not over yet.
I mean, even though we lost Jesse, and yeah, I mean, it's not even started. I mean, it's just happening. Well, every business I hear.
We're losing people at UNG.
Really?
And we pay pretty good. I mean, they're paying this one guy applied over there. For a job, and he didn't qualify because he only had a high school diploma, and then NAFAC picked him up. He's getting paid $28 an hour
yeah.
to cut grass only.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
I pay my grass cutter a lot more, but
I was just
that's me.
That's what
we're up against, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yikes. Interesting times.
Any NOVs or appeals?
Nothing filed, nothing received.
All right, anything else? So I don't think we need to have a meeting October 17th. That's only 3 weeks away. So are you guys good with October
24? Yeah.
I will be off island.
Oh, we'll have Kathleen?
Hopefully,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I can.
You know, and trying to find a law firm is going to be impossible.
Yeah.
How about an engineer?
Yeah. Well, lawyers are more important than engineers. We all know that. But,
all right, take it outside. You.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's going to be hard. And people call me up, can you recommend a lawyer? And we'll buy it. Nobody's taking clients. And so many have died in the last, you know, 6 months.
Yeah, that's going to be an AI position.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess see you in October with a new board member, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, we'll plan for October 24.
And is Heather Kittigua, is she nominated too? Somebody?
Yeah.
Okay. You told me that, yeah.
No word on that one yet.
She's submitted all her stuff already.
Before. Do the math.
We just need some bodies, you know.
I know. I want to talk to you guys all the time, too.
Come on.
Yeah, we need a
buffer. Oh, you know
what
is going to get more, might get more competitive is board and commission members. I forgot to mention there was a measure introduced to increase the stipend to $250 per meeting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've never collected a stipend.
You know, you guys are welcome to donate your stipends to the EA.
Well, I'm just saying.
On the old, well, these two don't, they opted out of it, but the new ones do, so.
Oh, okay.
They have a right to change their mind.
I just wanted to throw it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Since you guys are on a roll together.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.